seal metsa serval väikses majas, kus elasid mu vanemad. Seal metsa serval väikses majas on pesa teinud punase.
Ätsin, ätsa, ätsa, ai velle, me metsa vennad oleme. Ätsin, ätsa, ätsa, ai velle, me metsa vennad eestlase.
Ladies and gentlemen, history buffs, and all those interested in the fascinating story of Estonia, I have the distinct honor of welcoming a very special guest to our podcast today. He is not just a general and a history enthusiast, but a living embodiment of its continuation, General Martin Herem, the commander of the Estonian Defense Forces. Born in the heart of Tallinn in 1973, General Herem's life has been intertwined with the very fabric of Estonian independence. From a young age, he dedicated himself to the defense of his nation, graduating from the prestigious National Defense College and serving in various key positions within the Estonian military. His journey spans diverse roles, from leading the Kuperjanov Infantry Battalion to instructing future leaders and overseeing the Northeastern Defense Command. In 2018, he made history by becoming the first National Defense College graduate to hold the esteemed post of Commander of the Estonian Defense Forces. But General Herem's story extends beyond titles and ranks. He has stared down danger firsthand, serving in Operation Iraqi Freedom II as a Brigade Force Protection Officer with the U.S. Army. And his unwavering commitment to his nation is reflected in the numerous awards and accolades he has received. Today, General Herem joins us, not just as the leader of a formidable defense force, but as a witness to history, a participant in its ongoing narrative. He brings with him not only a wealth of knowledge and experience, but also a unique perspective on the past, present, and future of Estonia. We are releasing this episode of History of Estonia podcast on March 29th, which is the 20th anniversary of Estonia's accession to NATO, and also near the date of the very founding of NATO on April 4th, 1949, which will be the 75th anniversary of the Security Pact. Congratulations on the 20th anniversary of Estonia's accession to NATO, and welcome to the History of Estonia podcast, General Martin Herem.
Good evening or morning, depends, I don't know, when you're going to broadcast this. And thank you for all these nice words. I was a little bit wondering what all I have done during my life, but thank you.
You're welcome. What has NATO accession meant to Estonia?
If I put it very, very simple and short, then I think if we would not get to NATO, we would be in a situation of Ukraine, Moldova, or Georgia. And that's what it did, actually. Without that, Russia would achieve something they have achieved so far in these three mentioned countries.
Understandable. We'll get on to the topic at hand, which is the Forrest brothers. Because of the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, or Hitler-Stalin Pact as some call it, the Soviet Union formally annexed Estonia on August 6, 1940. What were the reasons behind the number of high casualties during the German invasion of Estonia in 1941, and why was the northern part of Estonia particularly vulnerable to Soviet violence against its population during its withdrawal from Estonia?
I think it wasn't particular in everywhere, just there were few events in northern Estonia where it just happened that in one place, the village or local people who supported the resistance and big number of rebels together with some people who were prepared in Finland as a long-range reconnaissance unit. Mm-hmm. They were all together there, and at the same time it happened that the Russian destruction battalion and other armed forces elements were also there. So and one moved or brought to other one battle or conflict delivered another one, and finally it was quite a big battle there. But other way, what Soviets did in 1940 and 41, that was everywhere in Estonia. And that's maybe a bit longer story, but I want to tell it just to describe how we understand the Soviet occupation. 1919 to 20, we had our independence war against Red Russia. We right. won it.
Yes, you did.
However, during this war, we had few weeks battles against Baltic Germans on a Latvian territory.
Mm-hmm.
And victory over them, we started to celebrate as our victory day. Even the war itself we won was against Russia, but the victory day was over Germans. 700 right. years ruling our life, and they were like the agent enemy for us. And we celebrated it in the 20s and 30s, 20 years. And it took only 1 year of Soviet occupation or Russian occupation, 1940 to 41. And when Nazi Germans came to Estonia, we met them with flowers. We even liberated some towns and villages before they arrived, because this 1 year of occupation was so miserable, so traumatic, when approximately 10,000 people were just sent to Siberia, and I would say half of them never came back, or even they didn't survive the first year of this deportation. Thousands of people were arrested or just executed, and many other disgusting things happened. So that's why we had first Forest Brothers already in 1940 in the forest. And this, what you just described in Northern Estonia, actually similar things happened everywhere in Estonia.
Okay. Can you provide our listeners with a brief overview of the Forest Brothers movement in Estonia, its historical significance, and the dire choices those who decided to resist in the forest faced upon the Soviet Army's return in 1944?
Let's say it wasn't the resistance movement as we know, whatever resistance movement later is very good, organized structure, and very visible achievements or battles. However, 44, when the Soviets or Russians came back to Estonia, there were many people who had a compromising past. They were members of Estonian army or defense forces. They belonged to Defense League. They had some cooperation with German occupation regime, something like this. So they had no way to cooperate with Soviets. And it's even the reason to go to hide was personal, but it was ideological. It was ideological because we were missing our independence. Nowadays, and also in the Soviet time, the Soviets said they were just criminals doing the robberies, murdering people. However, 1947, until 1947, the fight against banditism, against whatever criminals, was task of Minister of Interior Affairs. 47, this task, the fight against banditism, was given over to Ministry of Security. In Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Western Ukraine, and Western Belarus even, because they said that banditism is political, not criminal. So the Soviets themselves declared that actually they are fighting against ideological opponent, not criminal. The most active time period was 44 to 53. During this time period, there were approximately 16,000 Estonians. Our number of population at this time was a bit more than 1 million. So the percentage is actually bigger than the Viet Cong's in Vietnam War.
Oh, wow.
16,000 people were hiding in a forest. They didn't present the all big organization. There are many, many independent groups from 20 to 3 people, for example. They all have, as I said, ideological reason to be in a height. And most of them were hoping that sooner or later, the West, big West, will have the war against Soviet Union, and then we will organize uprising. So until 1953, these people were not too active against Soviet regime. However, they did some attacks or assaults also. But the main idea was to survive until the time when the big war is coming. Unfortunately, it never came.
Right.
And the 16,000, the mathematics behind that is, if you put together the numbers of killed Forest Brothers, arrested Forest Brothers, and surrendered Forest Brothers, that's how we get the 16,000. More statistics. During these 10 years, in Estonian territory, was killed 1,009 Soviet citizens. Half of them are locals, another half are security forces, military personnel, the agents, whoever, people in uniform, let's say. And if you compare this number, 1,009, during 10 years, maybe it's not a big number at all. However, if you compare it with some other, and sorry, I call them the resistance, like IRA or ETA, Spanish Basques movement, their numbers show that during 40 or 30 years, the killed people number was just 800. So I would say this 10 years actually was very, very active time in this resistance. After that, the numbers went down. Most of Forest Brothers were killed, arrested, or they surrendered because they saw no hope anymore, because it seems like West is not coming anymore, and they were in a desperate situation. So the last one was killed in 79. Mm-hmm. I know that the last Latvian Forest Brother came out from the forest 95, when the last Soviet or Russian soldier left Latvian territory. They were independent already 4 years or so,
right?
But he was still hiding in some farm or in some in rural area. So maybe these figures are characterizing the best way.
Thank you. Estonia's dense forests have often been linked to the guerrilla tactics employed by the Forest Brothers. How do you see the natural landscape influencing the resistance movements in Estonia during this period of time?
Yeah, Estonia was very, very agricultural environment. And at this time, we had approximately 30% of Estonia was covered by forest and 20% by the bogland. Not so many big towns or cities. So most of Forest Brothers, again, if it was summertime, and now I'm coming very soon to the environment, in summertime and in more secure time, they were spending their whatever nights or time in buildings, in villages, in farms, even in towns.
Mm-hmm.
But the winter, if you have the cordon and search operation or something like this, and you want to hide, escape, then in winter we have the snow, and everybody can follow you by footprints.
Right.
So that's why they prefer to go to deep forest where they had the bunkers. Some of them were underground, half underground, or just nice building above the ground, and they spent this time when you had the snow in a bunker. And also when the time was more dangerous in villages, they had the security forces were searching for them. Then they also left this populated areas to the forest or something. Mm-hmm. And that the Forest Brothers name is actually coming from long back history, when the Estonians who had some problem with regime, they did the same. They went to forest, to the, we call the swamp islands. So where nobody can, people usually do not follow you to the deep forest, because I, especially this time, people didn't like it and it was a bit scary place. But the Estonians found that that was the best place to escape.
In your opinion, how did individuals contribute to the resilience and determination of the Forest Brothers in their fight for Estonian independence?
Yeah, to describe, it's very hard to describe. To understand that, we should go back to the history, to the 80s, when I was a schoolboy. And during the, when you were, I don't know, maybe 10 years old or 11 years old, then every autumn, we were sent to collective farm, week or two, to pick up the potatoes or something.
Right.
And when we were driving there on a bus, and it was steep, so at time, 83, 85, then we were singing the songs, the Forest Brothers songs, the resistance songs. What I want to say that even in 80s, when the regime started to collapse and there were all kind of movements and bit fresh air came to us and bit light, then one motivation or something what we had in our backbones was the knowing that actually in the 40s, we were not just occupied, but we resisted. And we were very proud. Even the most of Forest Brothers ended very miserable way, but we had some kind of courage. I don't know how to name it. And we felt like moral right that we can take this back. We never gave it. It was taken. So we will take back our independence. And I think that was one of the biggest achievement what the Forest Brothers did. It wasn't military. So military, they were very scary. They were a big risk for Soviets. And that's what I have seen in archive documents. But the biggest thing what they achieved was actually sending the message to the future generations. And we were relying somehow on this knowledge and understood or believed that we deserve our independence again. I don't know if that was the answer.
Estonia has a unique history of resistance against occupying forces. How do you think this legacy of resistance, particularly in forested regions, has shaped the national identity and spirit of the Estonian people?
There are some other reminders as well. Even today, we have a lot of people in Estonia whose relatives were killed by Forest Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So today, when I have... Years ago, when I did my studies, spending hours in archive, the names of collaborants, the people who worked for regime and Forest Brothers, and I know that their grandchildren, they live in the same village today. They're basically neighbors.
Oh, and okay.
But often they even don't know that they have this relation. So it's, and then the Soviets, they, how to say, they recruited the agents, the informants. And I can say that 100% this recruitment was based on compromising past. So, but many of these people who were recruited to work for Russian security forces, they didn't do anything. They were called a ballast. You know, just wait. And today when somebody is studying the archive, they may see on a page that, for example, Martin Herem was recruited, and that's quite dangerous because now we say, okay, that was a collaborant. But if you study a bit more, then you see that he just survived. He just did something to escape whatever sending to Siberia, but he never did anything useful for the Soviet regime. But this tensity, this potential conflict is still even today in society. And some people even who got very good brainwash and let's say education in the Soviet time, they still say that the Forest Brothers were actually just the criminals because they killed a lot of local people. I have studied this part as well a little bit. And I can say that most of local people who were killed most of them, they had some kind of reason. They had the collaboration, the cooperation with Soviet security forces, which wasn't known for their children or the neighbors. They were just executed and that's it. And nobody knew why. So the information operation by Forest Brothers was very weak. And then, of course, I'm not justifying the killing people without any court, but I just explained what it was. So sure. Even today, we have some, among some people who lost their relatives, not so positive feelings.
Oh, okay.
But generally, the Forest Brothers are still something we are proud.
As you should be. Beyond the label Forest Brothers, how diverse were the individuals and groups involved in the resistance movement? Were there significant motivations, ideologies, and tactics differences among various factions?
I wouldn't say. I think they organized the groups, and there is no certain line how they did it. It was more maybe we like to be together, and then after 1 year, I decided to go closer to my family or opposite way to leave this area. And then I met the new friends, and then we organized a new group and we stayed together with completely different people. The ideology, as I said, based on personal threat, you had this compromising past, but it's all ideological. So they all were living in a forest or in hiding because they were worried about their own future, but they also were looking for the independent Estonia as well. The tactics, not so much. I think they all, most of them, they tried to survive. And even the Richard Saaliste was actually the officer who left Estonia 44 as a wounded German armed forces soldier, volunteer in German armed forces, spent 2 years in Sweden, was recruited by Swedish, American, British intelligence and sent to Estonia to organize Forest Brothers for this big war. Mm-hmm. And actually, he gave the guidances saying that to not come out too often. If you want to do the recreation, we can call it robbery of the shop or something, then do it, but don't do it too often. And do not attack armed forces if it's not necessary. Because by attacking armed forces, you bring the counterattack to yourself. And our idea is not to liberate Estonia, but to survive mm-hmm. until the big war is coming and then to mobilize all the population. Even according to Soviet protocols or archive papers, the Soviets had an estimation that in Estonia in 49 was possible to mobilize up to 90,000 people.
Oh, wow.
90,000 male people. But they were not sure who can mobilize them. So in case of war against West, if the Forest Brothers are organizing big uprisal and starting to mobilize people, the potential is definitely tens of thousands. And that was another, just how scary all this movement was, is one proof is the deportation in 49.
Mm-hmm.
When 48 autumn in Agricultural Congress in Moscow, they decided that people do not want to join with the collective farm system because they have bad ideology and example as a Forest Brothers, who still reminding them that, can you imagine, 10 years ago, we already haven't had our independence. But these guys are still reminding them their own republic and talking about the Western possible war and liberation. And that's why people do not want to join the collective forum. So they decided that they have to do something significant against resistance. and they aimed the support. So 49, they deported from Estonia more than 20,000 people to Siberia, much bigger numbers in Latvia, Lithuania. And that we can call the auxiliary of the resistance, actually, because the criteria, how they picked up the people, they were, all of them were related to the resistance. So the widows of killed Forest Brothers or relatives of Forest Brothers or previously arrested and freed Forest Brothers, all the supporters. So that was the, like a big picture in this. So what once more, the main direction in activity or tactics, it wasn't to liberate Estonia, but to survive and to keep the potential of mobilization against Soviet regime in case of Western actions. And by the way, why they had this hope, they were listening to the radios. The Voice of America, even in an English version, was available. The Radio Stockholm, the BBC, the Radio Ankara. And I have one, because I have interviewed also many people. And some people, of course, were interviewed by KGB, and the archive files are telling about this. For example, how one leader came out from the barn, listening there, the radio, BBC probably, and other Forest Brothers who didn't speak English, they asked, okay, what they were talking about. And that was actually 49 autumn. And the guy said, nothing new, still the same, nothing will change. And he was really disappointed. But the hope was actually coming from the Western media, let's say. Even the connection was by mail also. At this time, the Iron Curtain wasn't so strong. Just one example, 48, one group whose leader brother was professional boxer in the USA.
Oh, okay.
Anton Radik was the boxer. They wrote him the letter and said, you know, the weather is bad and very wet. Can you send us the rubber boots and coats and everything? And according to the KGB, they received in 48 every second month a package from USA. But in this package, there were also letters, for example, saying, keep going, survive, sooner or later, the America is coming. So, and that was the opinion of professional boxer in USA, also feeding this hope.
Wow. How did the Forest Brothers adapt their strategies and tactics throughout the period of Soviet occupation, responding to changing Soviet counterinsurgency measures and evolving political landscapes?
I would say know-how. They didn't change. And that was the one of the reasons their end. Until 47, the security forces, they used mostly by searching the forests, taking one piece of territory and going with 100 people and searching the bunkers. It was sometimes based on information. Sometimes it was just based on analysis of terrain. After 47, they changed significantly the tactics and they started to find out the supporters who have compromising background and, let's say, recruit them. And then the rest of operation was based on informants, agents, and Forest Brothers at the same time. They trusted people who were, ideologically trustable, with compromising background. So they trusted people among who the Soviet regime actually recruited the agents. And that was what brought the end very, very quickly, actually. Not very quickly, 57. After that, we had just hundreds of rebels in the forest. But that was their mistake. They were talking too much. Even the Richard Sahlist I mentioned previously, one of his guidance was that you should not tell things to people who you trust. You should tell people things they need to know. that was actually not followed. They were talking about everything and everybody. And that's why sooner or later, the Soviets, they found somebody who may have the connection with Forest Brothers. They gave him or her the choice, Siberia or cooperation. And if he or she knew enough about the resistance, then next day, the security forces were behind the door of the bunker, and that's it. After that, everything was very fast. Usually, the Forest Brothers acted against surrounded operation so that they tried to penetrate with just firing everywhere and to run to forests, to bushes, and sometimes they escaped. Mm-hmm. But mostly, most of time, they surrendered or they were killed.
Okay. Beyond armed combat, how did the Forest Brothers engage in broader resistance to Soviet rule? Did they maintain connections with Estonian society? And if so, how did these connections influence their activities?
Yeah, they, as I said, the ideological activity, they were in some villages, they were just walking without any threat, because then there are stories when the forest riding afternoon with bicycle, rifle in on a bicycle, and the local person is asking, don't you think that the KGB will get you? No, KGB is here just in the morning. So, but they were showing themselves, they were telling the stories. That was one thing, what was feeding the ideological attitude of local people. They used the leaflets, not too often, but I have interviewed the young schoolboy who was taping this. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed the lady who was putting to the tables in one school and in the local municipality building and all this, which were actually guiding people or directing to the, how we call them, unarmed resistance, to not follow the rules and regulations. Then the connection with the foreign intelligence also existed. Many of the Forest Brothers collected the information about the economy, movement of security forces. How it was delivered to West, I do not have any facts, but I know that it was collected to certain people, and something obviously happened with this. And quite often, to get this information, the local people were also used. Mm-hmm. That's what we can read from the KGB files, because if the Forest Brother was finally arrested, then most of time they were talking about everything.
Okay, thank you. You've answered this a little bit already, but maybe you can expand on it. What possible retribution did Estonians who were seen as aiding the Forest Brothers face if the Soviet authorities discovered them?
Yeah, as I said, people were sent to prison and to Siberia all the time. So 45, for example, 5,000 Estonian Germans were sent to Siberia. The reason was just that you are German. Mm-hmm. And if family was, the husband was German, wife is Estonian, then the kid, according to father, was German. These two were definitely sent to Siberia, and if wife, mother wanted to follow, must write the letter. But meanwhile, the people who discovered that they have a connection with Forest Brothers, most often through the court, they were sent to prison to somewhere in Russia. That was usual. But after 47, more and more, these people, the regime started to use them. So instead of sending them immediately to prison, if it was just, you know, sometimes giving them milk or meat or bread, supporting this information, not so serious. Let's use it. Let's recruit it as an agent. And the Soviet system was quite good, but not good enough to keep eyes on all of them. So time to time, they, after years, they just forget about them, and with some people, nothing else happened. But as I said, 49, more than 20 people were sent to Siberia to deportate it, and even after that. So that was the main consequences, I would say. The Soviet regime was, by the way, was strange. When they wanted to join with the United Nations, then they canceled the death penalty for 1 year. Really. And at this time, arrested Forrest brothers whose hands were on a blood. So who were, they knew that they had murdered somebody. So time before that and after that, they would definitely get the death penalty. Mm-hmm. But that was 1 year where even these people were sent to Siberia 25 plus 5 years. So what I want to say that most of supporters were not executed, beaten maybe, tortured, yes, not. And now I'm coming to nowadays. If I compare what happening today in what happened today in Ukraine and then in Estonia, then this 40s in Estonia, it was kindergarten. It's nothing to compare. That's what happening over there today is it's a hell.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, but other way, yeah, they were prisoners, maybe a little bit tortured, but usually sent to prison for the 5 years, some of them a bit more, 10 years. Many of them were actually liberated after Stalin's death in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the prison was the main, all recruitments.
Okay, thank you. And this is the last question. Considering the complex history of violence in Estonia during World War II, particularly regarding the forested landscape, how might the presence of extensive forest factor into contemporary Estonian defense strategies in the face of potential modern-day conflicts and geopolitical tensions with Russia?
Okay, today what we do here, we are today in NATO. We do not have to wait for the big war. That gives us a much better position to start.
Right.
However, definitely, we are planning to fight in all of our territory. It doesn't matter, is it seized, occupied already or not. So something like stay behind forces, special forces, guerrilla warfare, it still has a part in our plan, definitely. However, the last 2 years, what we have seen in Ukraine, how the Russians are behaving with locals, if they have any suspicions that they may support the special forces or stay behind forces, then we have to review a little bit our plans, which means we should not leave anybody in occupied territories, which makes our action completely different, because at this time the Forrest brothers, they got the accommodation, food, information from local people. Today I would say the territory will be quite empty. Of course there are people who decide to stay, but we must take it into account that if the Russians find the relation of forces and locals, that would be a very, very awful end, may be a very awful end to the local people. But what it gives to Russia, in Soviet time, actually, there was the legend about Forrest brothers. There is a joke how the migrant from Russia who came to Estonia, living in his own house in one village, and his neighbor is Estonian.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees how every week the Estonian is filling the oil to the flowers next by the house.
Okay.
Then asking the Estonian neighbor, dear guy, what do you do? You're killing all the flowers. And the Estonian is saying, I don't care about the flowers. I care about my machine gun, which is buried there. So that's what the Soviets knew about Baltic states even in the 80s. And I follow still the Russian news, some talk shows, and they still know the resistance in these countries. So they take this into account, and I hope it gives us a little bit deterrence as well.
Thank you. Well, thanks for joining us on History of Estonia podcast, General Harem. It has been my distinct honor and pleasure.
Thank you for being interested in this, and thank you for giving me a chance to talk about our history.
It's been fascinating. Thank you. And Nagamist.
Nagamist.
Ning meile ei ole senti raha, me peame metsas elama. Ja me ei saa, ei või, ei taha, ei taha tiblat teenida.
Aitsa, 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 ai velle, me metsa vennad oleme. Aitsa, 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 ai velle, me metsa vennad eestlased.
Ja sinu sõstra mustad silmad ei liial unune, sest sinu sõstra mustad silmad on võitnud minu südame.
Aitsa, aitsa, ai velle, me metsa vennad oleme. Aitsa, 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 ai velle, me metsa vennad eestlased.
Ja oma lippu sinimusta valget me ikka hauses hoiame. Ja koidikul siis selgitame, kes meist on õige eestlane.
Aitsa, 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 ai velle.